Welcome, everybody, to this meeting of the full council. First item on the agenda, I'd like to move that we approve the minutes of the meeting the council held on 2nd of December 2025, as published on the council's website. Is all those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Apologies for absence.
Mr. Chair, apologies for councillors Barry, Loughran, McEwen, Phillips, and Dodson.
Can I also ask Louise Nixon, please?
Thank you. Item 3 on the agenda, do we have any declarations of interest on matters arising this evening? No? Okay, good. Right, in terms of mayor's announcements on behalf of the mayor, I'd just like to advise you that the mayor's charity appeal, charity quiz night, she says thank you for those who attended this event, which raised £681 one night, which is a good sum. And another one, another mayor's charity appeal, charity lunch at the Riverbank restaurant, Stafford College campus. Invitations have been sent out for this, and I'm surprised there's only places left because it's a popular event. If you're not attending, you do wish to, I suggest you approach the office fairly soon. All right, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. As most of us will know, our friend and colleague, Councillor Loughran, is in hospital. And has suffered quite a serious illness for some time, and hopefully the result of her hospital stay will result in this illness going away for her. But she has been through a rough time, and I thought it would be a nice gesture by this council if the mayor could write, Mr. Deputy Mayor, to Angela and give the best wishes of this council for a speedy recovery and come back to the fold as soon as possible. Thank you.
Yay. Yes. Thank you for that. There's no announcements. Public question time, which we have none. Council sessions, nil. And no one makes this motion, which means we move on to item 9, which is the General Fund Revenue Budgets and Capital Programme. I'd like to call upon Councillor Cook to present the Cabinet's proposed budget.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Deputy Mayor, this is not going to be short. It will take some time. And I hope you're sitting comfortably. Well, Mr. Deputy Mayor, as members will no doubt have already read this very lengthy and detailed report, I shall cover only the salient points, but that will take time in itself. The report's purpose is to propose to the Council the General Fund Revenue Budget for 26-27, the updated Capital Programme 26-27 to 28-29, and the indicative budgets for 27-28 and 28-29. The recommendations are set out in paragraph 2.1. Key issues such as local government reorganisation and the provisional, and I stress that word, provisional, it is a word which is going to have much meaning a little bit later on, the provisional local government finance settlement for 26-27, including the implementation of the Fairer Funding Review, the business rates reset, as well as a 3-year provisional, again that word, settlement, I'll cover it in the body of the report, and I will be returning to it. The budget for 26-27 is based on the estimated outturn position for 25-26, as well as, which has been updated to reflect known changes in estimates for 26-27. Indicative budgets have been set out for 27-28 and 28-29, which include the key issues that it is anticipated will be likely to have an impact on our finances. Section 5 covers the issues, key issues, in more detail and underlines the large amount of work and costs, which are unclear at present, but which could well be significant for existing councils to meet the challenging timetable set by the government for local government reorganisation. And these will need to be planned for and costed and money spent on. Paragraph 5.5 covers the effects of the increase in business rates, as well as the previous increase in national insurance on our partners, as well as, indirectly, the users on council services. Worst case scenarios are also covered. The fairer funding review has now been implemented based on an updated needs formula to allocate funds. The results, Mr. Deputy Mayor, are a large shift of resources away from district councils. For district councils, an average rise of 0.6%, and towards others, as can be seen from the table in paragraph 5.8. Metropolitan councils are the biggest beneficiary, 7.5% rise in their funding, as the methodology used to calculate these needs favoured the more districts. We have suffered. In fact, districts have suffered more than any of the other types of authority. I need to finish this page first before I get on to the interesting news. The reset of business rates have meant that all previous growth over the old baseline amount was taken away from the council, and a new baseline has been introduced, or it was anticipated that the council will be able to retain any growth over this new baseline amount. At present, the figures supplied in the settlement are built into the budget. We haven't assumed any more. At the time of setting the budget, we had no indication of the transitional grant funding to protect the budget as a result of fairer fundings or business rates reset. In fact, the settlement was announced on the 17th of December. 17th of December, a few days before Christmas, when we are trying to race to sort out a budget for this council. Didn't give us much time. It turned out, actually, the settlement then, not now, then, was not as bad as we thought it would be from meetings with the civil servants, helped by that transitional grant. Due to all this uncertainty, the council sought to plan for conservative, with a small c, but realistic assumptions in budget setting in the previous year. This ensured that when the settlement came, the council would be able to continue to deliver services. Now, the settlement allows lower tier councils like ours to raise council tax by the higher of 2.99% or £5. Without a referendum. Indeed, a 2.99 increase is reflected in the settlement calculation by the government. In other words, the government is expecting authorities to go up to that 2.99 level. And there could be problems, I suspect, in future years if we don't do that, because they will give out the settlement in future on the basis that we did increase our council tax by the maximum amount. So we could be storing up trouble for ourselves if we don't. Settlement also included £300,000 for transitional protection. But note, actually also, the revenue support grant increase is in part driven by several other grants which were paid separately before being rolled into it. So it's not all jammed today, because they've rolled lots of other things into that. Right, now, that was then. This changed towards the end of last week, when the bombshell detonated. And the first inkling we had was an urgent alert from the District Council Network on Thursday, the 5th of February. 5th of February. Just a few days before this council meeting. The civil servants, evidently, had made multiple errors in calculating things like the business rates. They made all sorts of assumptions which shouldn't have been made. They didn't really know what they were talking about. They got it wrong. In fact, they got it all horribly wrong. Well, the bombshell was almost like that.
Shocking.
That's a sort of secondary bombshell compared to the one we got on Thursday. And you're not going to scare me again, I can't.
I'm supposed to have history about this.
We better erect a screen now. Right, so they absolutely made a complete mess up, shall we say, of the whole process. And the people who were suffering were going to be a whole load of district councils, because they were going to have that provisional, remember the word, that provisional settlement slashed. And we were amongst those. We got all this information from, luckily, the network, the district council's network. They got it from the Institute of Fiscal Studies, who were number crunching, but thank goodness the IFS, number crunching, realised that these huge problems were emerging and got in touch with the district council's network, who then got in touch with all their members, like us, and broke the really bad news. The seismic news, really, that there were going to be big cuts in the provisional settlement. And this, imagine councils getting this a few days before their budget debate, or even after their budget debate, because some of them had already had it. There was all sorts of to-ing and fro-ing going on from Thursday onwards, and it culminated in a very large telephone meeting on this Monday, yesterday, of Section 151 officers and some sort of Mandarin from the civil service, and it was a telephone meeting. They realised that something hadn't been governed by this time. Realised something had to be done this year. You couldn't delay anymore because it was all too serious, and there could have been councils collapsing and goodness knows what. So, the civil servant held this meeting. I gathered there were loads and loads of questions, quite a lot of them fairly angry ones, as you can imagine. And actually, he ended the meeting by just slamming the phone down, which is disgraceful behaviour, I think, on the part of a civil servant. Disgraceful way to treat a huge cohort of Section 151 officers who felt rather hard done by it. By the, if you like, stupidity of the civil service. I think it's a disgraceful thing. I should add that I have never in my 45 or 46 years of being on this council ever come across a situation like this. It is literally unprecedented. And I hope we never come across it again. Well, the amended figures were out today, so somebody must have worked. That was pretty hard to do that. And the good news for us, all praise to the Section 151 officer who's been negotiating this as well with the government, they don't affect our bottom line. It's almost net neutral for this year. That's a proviso for this year. The bad news comes in a minute. The Section 15 officer has appropriate delegated authority to make the necessary changes to the budget, as it is just a reserves movement. We don't have to do much about the budget to sort this out. He's got a new grant to offset the reduction in the business rates. So one is offsetting the other by anything other than any difference is a very marginal amount. So the day is saved for this year, thanks to the 31 officer being very, very sharp on the uptake and making waves at a very early stage. But we're not out of the woods yet. because it means that next year we could lose something like 1.3 million. And the year after that, we could lose another 1.3 million. So we're going to have to budget for that in future years. Actually, this could have cost us, on a worst case issue, we could have lost 3 million this year, which is no laughing matter, really, is it? And it's not a trivial amount. So we're out of the woods for the moment, but we've got obligations next year and the year after, to the tune of about 1.3 million a year. And that depends on what the government's going to do next year, what this so-called provisional settlement is going to be next year. Would you trust them to get it right?
Sure.
It's actually the civil servants, isn't it? It's these mandarins who think they know it all with their classics degrees, and they think they know all about accountancy and economics and all the rest of it, and just screw the whole lot up and then slam phones down on people. Hell of a way to go. Okay, so that's where we are on that. So let's move back to the budget, shall we? As I had my rant. And giving you the bad news for next year, although it's not bad for this year. Let's look at the budget issues and adjustments for 26-27. Well, they're contained in paragraphs 5.21 to 5.25, and the major changes in that 26-27 portfolio budgets, which are going to be recurring in future years, are listed in paragraph 5.25. Here one should note that the council bought the civic offices, the civic centre, and I think we were pretty well unanimous in saying let's buy it, as I recall at that council meeting. And so therefore the base budget has been reduced by £776,000 to reflect the rent which we no longer need to pay. Also included is a revised income stream of net £490,000. Now, this is a cautious estimate. Section 151, obviously, maybe a cautious estimate of the extended producer responsibility scheme. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
I looked it up. And it's the money paid to us, collected by central government from private sector companies based on the amount of waste materials they've produced. Who knew? But we got £460,000 from that. I suppose that's good news. Unfortunately, the bad news is only guaranteed for 1 year. And we don't know what's going to happen after that. So can't plan anything on that. We don't know what the government's going to do about that. It might go down to zero. Given some of the civil servants, they might start taking it back. So that's the information about that. 25-26 forecast outturn. Well, the latest portfolio position does reflect the inflationary increases, costs and no changes in the forecast, and the impact of the savings achieved. The estimated outturn is a 1.6 million portfolio surplus against the profiled budget. Now that can be seen in Table 2 in paragraph 5.27. The major changes in the environmental and resources portfolios reflect firstly the additional receipts from the extended producer responsibility payments already covered, and they're no longer being a rental charge for the council to occupy the civic centre, which I've also covered. Vacancies and recruitment difficulties are also reflected in the forecast. So the next thing is the council is forecasting a 500,000k deficit over the budgeted for position for investment income. Of course, the reason for that is interest rates have gone down, so we don't get as much money. And also don't forget, the use of reserves to buy the council building. You know, if you're going to use the reserves to buy the council building, you can't use the same money to invest, can you, and get money on the interest. So it's an opportunity cost, as always is. So taking into account other technical adjustments, the result of a favourable overall forecast outturn for 25-26 of 460, and that can be seen in Table 3, paragraph 5.33. Now, Table 3 in paragraph 5.33 reflects the forecast out position for 25-26, the proposed budget for 26-27, and indicative budgets for 27-28 and 28-29. These budgets are generally based on the maintenance of the existing provision and delivery of the priorities which we set out in the corporate plan for 25-26 to 27-28. The only material change is the introduction of food waste collection in 26-27, in line with government policy. We have to do that, we're talking about by government, we've got to do it. There is no specific funding for this, however, because it's been included in the settlement. So we don't know how they move that round, but they say it's all in there, it's all in the settlement. So we'll have to pay for it. And anyway, the detailed budgets are all included in Appendix 1. So while the multi-year settlement is welcome, as long as they don't mess it up again, and it does help to some extent with medium-term planning, it should be borne in mind that this is a provisional settlement and subject to change, and change has done. The government's wish to reorganise local government, combined with this provisional settlement, still limits our ability to think strategically. Table 4, paragraph 5.37, shows the changes in the 26-27 budget assumptions, and the main changes are the introduction of fairer funding and the business rates reset, the increase in portfolio budgets, and the reduction in investment income already alluded to. So now let's move on to something a bit more cheerful. Reserves and balances. Now, these are an essential part of good financial management and do help the Section 15 officer to reassure us, the Council, of the robustness of the estimates and the adequacy of reserves. And if you look at Appendix 5, you'll see that statement. Right? The policy, of course, for many years, cross-party support, has been to maintain the level of the general fund balance at a minimum of £1 million, and this is maintained over the planning period. So we move on to capital program, 25-26 to 28-29. This program is attached as Appendix 2 to the papers, and further information is given in paragraph 5.44, including the fact that the funding mechanism for the former Wilco site has been changed from council resources to Future High Street grant, which is good. We move that on to the Future High Street grant out of our capital. We've got some more capital. And a new scheme is included for natural environment vehicles. I didn't know what natural environment vehicles were. So I asked. And the street cleansing vehicles. Who knew? So they all learned something this evening. Street cleansing vehicles. Right? The council has capital resources of £1.495 million in general fund and £3.136 million of Section 106 resources not allocated at present. But actually, I looked up last year's Section 106 not allocated, and we had £4.341 million not allocated last year. So we spent well over £1 million over the year, which is good. And the more we can do that, the better, I think. Okay, the council tax base. This is where it gets a bit more sexy, perhaps. Depends on your taste, I suppose. This is the number of properties in the borough expressed in terms of Band D equivalents. You'll find them on Appendix 4. The council's tax base is now estimated to be 50,296.31. And this is an increase, actually, of 662.16 from the previous year, which is good, given that's the increase in our tax base. Council tax now, even sexier. June 2026 to 2027, the proposed increase of 2.99% is within the guidelines for district councils as contained in government policy. The proposed level of council tax for 2026-27 is £184.09 for a Band D property, and the overall level of council tax, subject to final determination, of course, later in February, we'll be determining that later in February. The usual caveat, and gosh, it's true this year, the usual caveat is that the figures in this report may need minor amendment if any further information emerges before then. Well, it has, and we're amending it. I've been through all that below. Okay, so for 2025-26, previous year, council tax was £178.75 for a Band D property. So that's been a rise of £5.34 a year for a Band D property. So how much is that per week? Well, how much extra? 10p, about 10.2p. How much is that a day? About 1.5 pennies a day.
I mean, how much latitude do we need?
Right, do remember also, the total council tax in the borough obviously is going to be more than that, because that depends on the spending decision by all the other preceptors. And we won't know that until later on in February, when we get then the final council tax figure. But don't forget, and I keep stressing this, although we collect council tax, we only keep about 10% of it, because the vast bulk goes to the county council. Not us, we only get 10%. If we got that, the amount the county council got, we'd be in seventh heaven. Okay, well now we come on to risks and future challenges. The risks are the range of significant risks are covered in paragraph 5.33. The most serious problems are the recruitment difficulties that we face with in this council, with the reasons shown in paragraph 5.52. These shortages of staff will have a very negative impact on service delivery, and this is likely to be an issue until local government reorganisation is resolved. There's also the matter of additional work that local government reorganisation is going to generate for the staff on this council. Provision, however, has been made for this in the budget. So, yep, there's a great deal of uncertainty when peering into the crystal ball. But thanks to the prudence and competence of our knowledgeable and experienced Section 151 officer, and his equally talented and hard-working team of the council, well, we are well placed to weather any storms that may be gathering. Now, despite the challenging year ahead, we will continue with our ambitious plans for the transformation of the High Street. We're continuing the demolition of the derelict former Co-op store and the bits around it, and the Guildhall Shopping Centre. We'll also be refurbishing street furniture and utilising bin storage in the town centres. In addition, we've received confirmation from the government that funding for the station gateway scheme is forthcoming. There is around £1.5 million of extra support being rolled out for local businesses following our successful High Street Boost scheme. Work has been completed on enhancing the entrance and approach to Stafford Railway Station, which is often the very first impression that visitors get when they come to Stafford. And we're implementing plans for revamping Ferrari Park and some other play areas. Finally, Mr. Deputy Mayor, and on behalf of all members, I should like to thank the finance team for the huge amount of time and effort they put into the creation of this budget, working to such tight deadlines, particularly recently, to produce it. We're only seeing the tip of of this. But there has been so much work involved in collecting, checking, analysing, presenting the very considerable amounts of data. And they have done a superb job, I'm sure we'd all agree. So a very big thank you to the Deputy Chief Executive Resources, Chris, the Chief Accountant, Financial Management, Emma, and all the finance team who created this project. Mr. Deputy Mayor, I commend this project to the Council and ask that all the recommendations be agreed.
Second,
Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Chairman, I was going to ask for a second, but I wanted to clarify first of all that we are seconding the budget as presented by the Cabinet, not the sneeze that came halfway through. So, before we take a vote on that, we have received one alternative budget proposal submitted by the Conservative Group. Before considering the Cabinet's proposal budget, we first need to consider whether we refer the alternative budget back. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, are we not going to at least try and debate the budget before we bring forward an amendment?
No, the procedure we've agreed is that once the Cabinet budget has been moved and seconded, we then look at the amended budget, and if that's moved, we discuss it as an amendment.
So, as I was explaining, if the alternative budget goes back to Cabinet or not. If the alternative budget is referred back, then Cabinet will consider it at its meeting scheduled 17th of February. Cabinet will then provide a response to the 24th of February Council meeting. If the alternative budget is not referred back, Council must consider whether to adopt the Cabinet's proposed budget, and that's where the debate commences. So at this point, I invite Councillor Pert to move the alternative budget for referral to Cabinet.
I move the alternative budget and reserve the right to speak.
Is that seconded?
Yes, you.
Right, can you debate the alternative budget now? Councillor Pert, would you like to?
Sure,
yes,
absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Before I start this budget, I'd just like to say that for all of us on the whole around the chamber, what a mess. I didn't think that we'd get similar sort of problems in Stafford that were happening in Westminster. But we are. So, what are these civil servants doing? I mean, it's not our government this time, it's your government that's causing the problems. And as Councillor Cook says, they've got it horribly wrong and they're stupid. How can we work in this environment? And how can the one-by-one officer, he's lost at least 3 stone in the last 3 months. Chasing up with what's going forwards. And then Councillor Cook also has mentioned that the money from the district is going to go to the metropolitans, or a large chunk of it. Again, what a world we're living in where our money, the money that Stafford taxpayers are paying, goes into Wolverhampton Stoke. Then we get local government disorganisation, and again, money's going to sort of flow from all of the districts into Stoke if that option comes forward. I'm really, really disappointed in the way we're going. But anyway, that's just me having a little sort of a minor rant, and I think it's wrong. The alternative budget which we put forward, it's fairly relevant considering what's been said about the 3 years going forward. We're proposing that council tax is reduced, or the take reduced to 0.5%. Now, it's okay for the cabinet member to say say that it's only one, two, three pennies a day. But when people with families are overstretched anyway, one, two, three pennies a day over the year might buy a week's food. So it is important that we get these figures down as much as possible. So we think that the council tax should only be increased by 0.5%. We looked at the car parking charges, and as with the administration, we think they should be frozen. We need people in the town, what's left of it, shopping, and people are able to travel backwards and forwards without worrying too much about car parking costs. And then we've got three items here which are different items. And that is that we're asking the council, the administration, to back us on feasibility studies. Now we feel that, and anyone who's been in Eccleshall in the last 6 to 8 months will realise that a big problem is with car parking. Now if we now increase the number of houses at some point in the future, it's going to be a no-go area. So I fully believe that we should look at a feasibility study for a new car park in Eccleshall. Again, Councillor Cook is a champion of leisure centres. He quite often criticised the Stafford Leisure Centre. And I think that's wrong. That's not in our budget, but we do think that you should be spending a bit more money on the leisure centre because it's starting to look tired. What we do think you should be looking at is a feasibility study for a new learner pool at Stone Leisure Centre. Now we've had some nationally horror stories where people have drowned in the sea and elsewhere. And we should be maintaining that capacity to teach not just children but older people to swim. So we would like to see a feasibility cost for a new learner's pool at Stone Leisure Centre. Rural businesses, I'm a farmer, so I've got to put my name forward and say actually my interests, but we need to get the rural economy thriving. There's still a lot of poor people in the rural areas who need a job, and they need jobs in their local area. They don't need to travel all the way to Stoke or Wolverhampton. And then the final one, and as a county councillor myself in the past, this is a great initiative. If we can have a grant, if each councillor gets a grant for even £1,000, you guys on the ground know where the need is. It's flexible, it's useful, and a lot of councillors have benefited in the past for their communities. We think that is a viable alternative. Mr. Mayor, I would echo what's been said by the Cabinet Member, that in difficult times, the 151 have done a sparkling job, and congratulations to the team who have behind it. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
So we've got any comments now on the alternative budget? Councillor Cook, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Your alternative budget. Feasibility study for a new learner pool at Stone Leisure Centre. My memory does serve me right that when this initiative was put forward, Stone Residence, Stone Town Council, Stafford Independence begged for a learner pool. There you were on the front of all the newspapers, with your spade in the ground, first dig for the leisure centre. But you were so desperate to get Marks and Spencer's onto Westbridge Park that suddenly there was no scope for a learner pool. So what are you suggesting now? That we knock down the pump house, we knock down the brand new guide hut, we knock down the power station, the pumping station, to make way for a learner pool? Councillor, you talk about children drowning and the need for a learner pool. I don't know whether you've been along to Stone Leisure Centre and watched the children learning. They are remarkable how they actually teach the children there to swim, with a lot of very good results. And every school in the surrounding area goes to Stone Leisure Centre to the pool. There is no need for a training pool. We don't have the space for a training pool. A waste of money. Grants for individual councillors. For those of us here who are privileged to be county councillors, we know that we have, it's gone from 10,000 to 7,500 to now 2,500 grants that each individual county council councillor has to give to people who apply. To help us give those pots of money away to the people who apply to us, there are two dedicated officers who deal with the grants. Each county councillor has a buddy who will give support, both to the councillor giving advice. It takes hours and hours to give these grants away. Hours and hours of officers' time. I hate to even think how much it costs. It takes months. Quite often the applicants don't fill in the application forms correctly, and there's more time by the officers trying to correct the mistakes. And then we have the situation whereby somebody sees that all the other people who put in for grants have been paid out. They immediately squeal, "Oh, we've been left out, this is terrible." No, they haven't been left out. It's just that it takes so much time that someone has to be at the end of that. So I'm afraid I don't think it's a very good idea. This borough council already gives small grants. People can apply for small grants. It's a very popular scheme. We give sports grants, which are excellent, both for younger people, for football teams, bowling, etc. They can take the grants. We also give funding to the Stafford and District Arts Council, who have people apply to them for the money that we've given to them. And we've just recently begun our new community grants, which is proving to be very, very successful. So I'm sorry, I can't support this. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Cook can speak at the close of the debate immediately before the mover of the amendment. So is there anyone else who wishes to speak before those two councillors speak?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would like to speak on the feasibility study that was proposed for actual car parking. I feel that this may actually potentially worsen the overdevelopment that I know some of the councillors are worried about in Eccleshall by creating capacity for additional cars to go into Eccleshall. And what I would like to see is maybe a feasibility study into encouraging public transport use and other aspects rather than getting more cars into Eccleshall, which would encourage more developers potentially to build more houses there. So I don't quite understand why we wouldn't be looking to encourage that. Although I do like the sentiment of a budget for councillors, however, listen to what's been said here, I think that may be problematic, but we do have maybe a large reserve that could maybe be used for that, but I understand the digital problem that this may present, but that's my comment.
Thank you. And then we've got Councillor Kenny.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just to put a bit more meat on the bones of what my colleague said about the learner pool. Back in sort of 2012, 2013, there was a Western Park leisure strategy firm. In that, there was a mention of the learner pool, and it would be possible to include it in what's going to be called Western Park. So, moving on, 3 or 4 years later, different reports and the proposals. There was no learning pool included. So somewhere along the lines, there's already been a feasibility study done on the learning pool. It wasn't included, so save yourself 30 grand, don't have anything on that.
Thank you. Have we got anybody else? In which case, call on Councillor Cooks or Councillor Wine or Councillor Budget.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. And can I thank the opposition for this very weighty document? I said with irony.
Wish you got them.
Actually, the figures are wrong anyway.
It's 30 years to get one from the Labour government.
The figures are wrong. You've got to do your maths better. They're wrong. And now, what am I going to say about this? This actually is.
Can we do a point of information, a point of order? Which is that this has got concurrence. Sorry, this has got concurrence from the Section 151 officer, who the cabinet member was just praising him a minute ago. So, is it financially got concurrence or not?
All I'm saying is the figures are wrong.
Well, it either has concurrence or it doesn't.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, this actually reads more like a wish list rather than a budget. I mean, I'd want to see far more information if anyone were asking me to add this to a budget. It's a wish list. It's a pipe dream. People sitting there smoking something or other saying, what would we really like to do? There we go. It's actually using council taxpayers' money, to sort of kickstart their next election campaign. We should really be coming in and not do this in the future. This is going to hit. If you look at number one, increase council tax by 0.5%. After all I've been saying in the previous report about the problems the government's creating, the problems of the 2.99% that we should be going up to it, because if we don't, we could well find we're in hot water in future years, because the government will take that into consideration. The fact that we need reserves, because look at the shock we had recently, just over the last few days, which would have been much, much worse if we didn't have some cushion. This is going to reduce our tax base. We've argued against reducing the tax base for years, for very good reasons. The government is assuming the maximum allowed rise in council tax of 2.99% will be applied. They've built their settlement figures around this. If it's less, we could well receive a reduced level of support from the government in future years. And then I'd also ask, surely we should all be thinking, how is this lower council tax base likely to impact on the new authority, which takes control in 2029. We're not thinking about the other authority at all. I just don't think they will thank us for this. And I would really, I'm implacably opposed to the idea of reducing our council tax base to 0.5%, which the impact on the budget goes on, as you can see. And in total, 695,399. Two is irrelevant, because we've already frozen car parking charges. We've done that. The feasibility study for a new car park in Ecclesham. Well, whether or not we need or don't need a car park in Ecclesham, what is indisputable is that we don't have any money to pay for it. And we're not likely to have. I mean, and anyway, why are we given that we're going to have a new authority in a couple of years' time, Perhaps they should be making the decisions on these sorts of things. We could end up, if we had a feasibility study costing £30,000, by the time that all happens, we won't have a chance to do anything. We'll get to the new authority and they'll say, no, we don't want to put a car park in Eccleshaw. We've wasted £30,000. And the same goes, of course, for the training pool in Stone. But of course, Councillor Hood's demolished that anyway, very, very convincingly. Number five, rural business startup grant scheme. Well, that's so very vague. There's nothing in mind there. There's nothing you can grasp hold of. There's no structure. There's no further information. It's a pig in a poke. I wouldn't give any money to somebody who came to me with a proposition like that. Anyway, I was looking at our figures, and here we are. This has made grants made to rural businesses over the last 3 years. And for the purpose of defining rural, the data below captures any business that operates outside of the Stafford town area. Because we are very much a rural borough. I mean, Stone's a rural town. Eccleshaw, a rural town with that rural hinterland. And here we are. It's been awarded from 23-24 to 25-26 to date.
Councillor Cook, I remind you, we normally have 5 minutes for this section.
Thank you. We've given money to 92 businesses at a total value of over £1 million, and we've used 10 schemes. So what do we need this for? We're doing jolly well with our businesses and their figures to show it. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor, would you like to
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor and councillors. Good evening. Great to see you back in the chair. It suits you. Let me just make a few opening comments on some of the stuff. It feels like I've not just had one maths lesson of 45 minutes this evening, it feels like I've had two. And unfortunately the bell didn't go early. So I will try and keep my comments at a high level. It does remind me of an episode of The Traitors, some of what I've heard this evening. And it's really disappointing that the government cannot deliver against their own promises of having a 3-year settlement, because they can't even make up a 1-year settlement and give it to councils. And I think it's interesting criticism of the government and their handling, given it's a government of the same colour. Normally you see a chancellor or a cabinet member for finance stand up and be very effusive about their budget and the positive future. I'm not convinced I got any effusiveness there at all. I did manage to stay awake. I did manage to understand every word, but I have to say I don't think I saw that positivity. So there are three questions when I look at a budget, and I will relate this back to the alternative budget that's proposed, because I think they're important to set the scene. First of all, I ask myself, is it fiscally sound? Is it a prudent budget that lives within our means? And whilst I accept there is no strict legal requirement to have a balanced budget of more than a year, a 3- and 4-year period does make sense, because it's only the responsible thing to do. Spending, after all, more than you can afford is never a sensible position for any local authority, well, anyone actually. And you only have to look at the shining or not so shining stars, examples of authorities around us, to recognise that that's not a sensible way forward. So on that test, I think the budget largely passes. It's a balanced budget for the final year, up until the final year, apologies. And whilst there is a projected deficit in the last year, there is sufficient provision being made in working balances to cover that shortfall in any case. And in truth, the deficit in the final year is really marginal on a £20 million budget. So secondly, the test that I look at is, does this budget make the right choices? There is much to welcome, to be honest. There's no increases proposed to garden waste charges or car parking charges. And members across the chamber will know that members this side of the chamber have been opposing car parking cost charge rises for a number of years. After all, when you've got spent £20 million regenerating your high street, it is frankly counterintuitive to penalise the very people you want to encourage back into frequenting our town centres. I also note that last year's increase, particularly for Stone residents, was particularly punitive. So moving on to garden waste, holding that is also to be welcome. It's exactly what we, as a Conservative group, argued for last year, as well as this year, and I'm delighted to see that the administration have taken on our suggestions, albeit belatedly. And with the greatest respect, Mr. Deputy Mayor, that's exactly what I said I was doing, is setting out the scene to why we have the alternative budget and what the detail is. Bearing in mind, I have not yet spoken at all on either of the things.
Yes, bear in mind, we discuss if this is not referred back to Cabinet, then we debate the Cabinet's.
So I'd like to move on to my third point, which takes us exactly to the alternative budget, Mr. Deputy Mayor. So my third point is, what does the budget bring for our residents? And whilst I say there is much to applaud, a 3% increase in council tax comes after many years of a cost of living squeeze and will not be welcomed by many households. What would have been both affordable and fairer would have been an increase of just 0.5%. A minimal increase, but one that would have shared the burden more evenly. An increase that the government would not have railed against and would have supported our residents in this borough. So the decision to hold garden waste and parking charges goes some way to recognising Conservative policy and the Conservative proposals from previous years.
Sorry.
However...
Sorry?
He had 25 minutes on the first one. I won't take 25 minutes, you'll be pleased to know, and it'll be in time for overtime. So this budget fails because it is balanced on paper but heavier on household bills. It is a prudent budget, but one that stops short of putting residents first. And the press will no doubt refer to it as a sound budget that offers sound finances, but a real missed opportunity. Instead, some of the things that are proposed in the alternative budget are the things that potentially allow monies to be spent not just in Stafford Borough, Stafford Town Centre. May I remind the Cabinet member that in fact we spent £40 million in the last 10 years in the centre of town. And what was the equivalent in any of the rural areas or outside of Stone and Stafford town centres? There needs to be an equivalency here. And actually undertaking some of these feasibility studies allows that. And instead, what we're looking at doing is bringing forward a budget that doesn't just save for tomorrow, it invests for the future. Because what the alternative is, what the alternative that's been proposed forgets who paid for today. So this alternative budget is about offering hope to everyone in the borough, not just those people who live in the town centre. It also ensures that the reserves that we have don't get swallowed up by a future authority, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Because otherwise what we could be doing is paying to bail out Stoke City.
Stoke City in trouble.
Oh, they're definitely in trouble. So this is a budget, an alternative budget, that I want to see, to celebrate and to cheer, because the numbers add up, and the priorities also add up, unlike the proposal from the Cabinet member. I would urge members to look seriously at the alternative budget and support it.
Thank you, Councillor. We'll now take a vote on the alternative budget. Now, remind councillors this isn't actually approving the budget, it's simply asking it to be referred back to Cabinet, referred time to the next council meeting. So, can I ask all those in favour for referring the alternative budget back to
to cabinet?
No.
Can I ask those who are against referring the alternative budget back? The motion's not because of the abstentions to the record. Any abstentions, Councillor Cook?
Sorry. It's your budget.
Okay, thank you, councillors. So in that case, it's not referred back, and we return to the original budget from Cabinet, which we will now debate.
Yep.
Any comments on the original Cabinet budget?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, can I ask the learned gentleman across the floor to refer to page 37? Budget for 2026-27 for employee expenses for trees. There seems to be a delta of around about 100k, which is not explained. If you look at page 61, I can see 60 grand. That still leaves 100 grand unexplained. Could I have an answer, please?
Well, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I believe this is in the environment portfolio. So I'll ask the cabinet member for environment if they can deal with it.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. There's a considerable amount of work going on in the tree officer area at the moment. As you know, we've been without tree officers for quite a while. And there are safety assessments, building of TPO records and various work programs. There are new offices being added to try and build that area so we can establish and use it as well. There's also a 12-month contract for a particular office, which I think is probably not too good to mention for this. That's the important thing that's considerably higher. So I think that's the explanation. We'd like to come back to you later just to confirm our share.
Thank you, Councillor
Angela. Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry about my sneezing. I haven't got a cold. It's just one of those things that happen. Body functions. Councillor Cook, I'm pleased to see that you've been in touch with the cost of the information of food waste in the budget. Will you be monitoring the cost? Seeing as this is a new initiative, and will you be monitoring to make sure that that will, in the budget, make sure that that will cover the cost of the food waste as we move forward? Thank you.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, may I thank Councillor Edgar for that comment? You do remember this is what we're doing because the government has told us to do it. I've no doubt the environment department. We'll wish to monitor what is going on. We want to make sure that it's working as efficiently as possible and providing the best possible service for our residents. Thank you, Mr. Deputy.
Anybody else in the comments? I think it's about the business program.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Can I just say two things, if I may, please? First of all, I'd like to echo the thanks to officers and to the Section 151 officer and his team pulling together two really weighty documents and considering those options. And obviously, it really must be very frustrating for those officers who've had to redo the work several times over. So I just thought it was important to reflect on that. And second of all, just in terms of that additional work, can I ask whether the leader of the council will write or put pressure on the MP to reflect this council's frustration at the complete and utter waste of energy and time that this has had? It doesn't bode well for a professional organisation, and if government can't show a professional face, then what example does that send to the rest of us? Mm-hmm. And additionally, how does that bode well for local government reorganisation? There is a huge leadership job that we all need to do to take our organisation through LGR, and frankly the government is letting us down time and time again.
Councillor Robson.
I'd just like to support what Councillor Hurst just said about putting pressure on government to ensure that the kind of failures that have happened through this so-called three-year settlement don't occur again in the future, and then we should, as a council, be putting pressure on central government and through local MPs for that. Thank
you.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Mr Deputy Mayor. I can reassure members I speak to the MP regularly.
Did you listen about this?
Thank you. Right. In order to finish, normally Councillor Cook would have a to reply on this, but I think if everything's been said, we're going to wait to the vote.
No, let's hear from them again.
Mr Mayor, I think his council's had enough of me tonight.
I'll second that
one. So no, I think I've said all I want to say. Let's just get on with the budget, I think.
In that case, all those in favour of the budget proposed by Cabinet? Okay, all those against? That's carried then. Thank you for that. Thank you. Long, what's proof of the chance, I think. Right. Item 10. Fees and charges for review for 26-27. I call upon Councillor Cook to send a recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I hope this will be short.
Just propose the recommendation.
Depends on everyone.
Just propose the recommendation.
Right, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I recommend to the Council that the fees and charges for 2026-27, and specifically the new charges in paragraph 5.10 and the increases above 4.3% in Appendix 1 be approved. This report sets out the proposed fees and charges for 2026-27. And paragraph 2.2 sets out the items to be included in accordance with the revised financial regulations agreed by the Council on 16 September 2019. In addition, the report includes those fees and charges where no increase is proposed from 1st of April 2026 for noting by Council. The proposed fees and charges will have a direct impact on the 26-27 budget and beyond, and decisions should take into account the Council's overall financial position together with likely issues which could have an impact on our finances. Paragraphs 5.2 and 5.3 detail the headwinds and risks facing the Council, which in the interest of speed, I shall tell you, are there rather than reading all out to you.
Thank you.
Right, the forecast budget should also be considered when making discretionary decisions about income and expenditure. The higher the yield from fees and charges, the greater the income which is reflected in the budget. But this needs to be balanced, Mr. Deputy Mayor, by the recognition that the elasticity of demand around that percentage price rise could lead to a greater percentage fall in the quantity demanded and a consequent reduction in income. So we have to be careful sometimes when we're raising prices, as businesses have to be careful. Other issues with relatively high charges are set out in paragraph 5.4. A reminder to the Council that the changes in fees and charges come again into effect from 1st of April rather than the 1st of January, to bring them into line with the budget setting cycle. The only exception, of course, is the brown bins, which run from January to January. For 26-27, inflation, as defined in financial regulations, is measured by the RPI, the Retail Price Index, and the relevant month is October 2025, and it stood at 4.3% in that month. For information, CPIH, that's Consumer Price Index Housing, was 3.5% in that month. However, in general, Mr. Deputy Mayor, Where officers have delegated authority, charges will rise by about 4%, allowing for rounding, of course. Some fees are set by external bodies or set by legislation stroke regulations. These are included in the full list of published fees and charges, but don't appear in this report. Note the taxi driver, license fees are subject to a separate review and require consultation. Charges for new services are set out in paragraphs 509, and proposals for deletion are in paragraph 5.10. Proposed increases above the threshold of 4.3% are shown in the appendix. Now, the Council does also consider market conditions when setting fees and charges. Thus, some charges where the Council has the power to vary them will not rise. The most significant of these are, of course, the car park charges, which are frozen as part of our contribution also to the regeneration of the town centre. We want to make it easier for people to get in and people to enjoy the town centre, whether it be the evening economy, the day economy, leisure pursuits, coffees, shopping, or whatever. And we also, of course, will be freezing waste collection charges, garden waste collection charges at 25-26 prices. So I ask Council, Mr. Deputy Mayor, to agree with these recommendations.
Any comments about Council?
It's a long time. I don't remember the last time I had treble maths at school. I know it was a long time ago, but blimey, you must be congratulating Councillor Cook on your performance this evening. I'm pleased that you're following equally the previous administration's methodology for fees and charges, and given that, we will be supporting them.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Chair. It's interesting to know on page 64, item 5.9, that the administration's funded with a way of taxing the debt of their relatives. Thank you.
Any more comments? In that case, we'll go to the vote on increasing charges. All those in favour?
Are there any items referred from scrutiny committees?
No, Mr. Dutchman.
No, thank you. In that case, thank you, councillors, and that concludes tonight's business.
The Council Andrew Cooper.